Again, thank you for letting us come and share with you today. It's been an incredible privilege of just sharing with you and publicly just to say thank you to John, your pastor, for giving and trusting me with this and being able to ask the Lord just to bless this to us as we share together. It's been an incredible privilege. Both Jen and I have loved you and loved getting to know you. I'm sure everybody tells you you're a warm, loving, and friendly church. Do they tell you that? Well, I want you to know it's true. And we've just found a warm acceptance amongst you all, and it's been an incredible privilege just to be a part of this as well. I was saying that I was driving here today from the Kloof area, Winston Park, Gellert's, and you know, people just came out on the streets to say hello to us, and we were just waving to them all. And then I realized it wasn't about us, but it's just such an exciting time up at that area. I remember as Kloof Baptist Church, we would have our service, and then we would go out and spend the rest of the day shouting for some of the folk of our church. And so it really is an exciting opportunity. But thank you for letting us be here together today. Let's open our Bibles, and we're going to turn to 1 Chronicles and chapter 29. 1 Chronicles and chapter 29. And we're going to read the prayer that David prayed before the temple was about to be built, and they had collected all of the required articles and for the construction. But let's read this together. Before we read, let's pray. Father, as we have come together today, we want to thank you that we're able to come and share around your word. And I was so taken with that song today, Lord, that we sang, may you be pleased with the words of my mouth and the song of my heart and the joy of my heart and the love of my life for you. And our prayer today, Lord, is that you would come and rest upon us. Oh, Lord, that you would again tear wide open the heavens, and that you would pour out upon us, Lord, your blessing and your presence in a way that we would not be able to contain. That we would come to that place, Lord, of glory and understanding your glory and of your heart toward us. We pray for your blessing as we open your word and we read together. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So David's prayer, 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 29 and verse 10. And David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given only what comes from your hand. We're aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like shadows without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for the building of your temple, for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, God, that you test the hearts and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. May the Lord bless these words that we have read together today. I think it's really important just to highlight a few things. I loved the reading that we had in the middle of our worship from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers or you know that thing. But his delight is in the law of the word, Lord, and he will be like a tree planted beside living waters. There is this wonderful, wonderful truth in Scripture that actually, as we begin to follow the Lord and walk with the Lord and do what He wants us to do, live in the presence of God, there is a fullness that God wants us to enter into that actually we've scarcely scratched the surface of. If God is inscrutable, is that the right way to say it? Inscrutable. If He is beyond our understanding, if His love is wider and higher and deeper and longer than we could ever imagine. I love that verse in Philippians, that you might know the width of His love, the depth of His love. And I have this impression of free falling in this grace and in this love of Jesus that there is, never touching any of the sides and just getting deeper and deeper into what God wants us to know. And I've got all of eternity to free fall in His love. There is this sense in which God has something for us that we never, ever anticipated. And blessed is the man. Remember Andy Sandy said this, keep yourself blessable. And whether it means living a godly life, honoring your father and mother, whether it leads train up a child in the way that he should go, whether it means honoring God with the way that you live your life, whether it means honoring God in the act of giving, all of this is something that is blessable. Now there is a danger. There is a danger. And I've said this throughout all of my ministry, that any emphasis or overemphasis on a particular Bible truth is a wrong emphasis. Do you hear what I'm saying? If there's any overemphasis on prosperity, it's a wrong emphasis. If there's any overemphasis on obedience in terms of being a witness, and you can, if you don't witness to every single person that you come across, you're being disobedient, that's a wrong emphasis. Jesus said through Paul, make sure that you are ready in season and out of season to give an account of the hope that's within you. But any emphasis, charismatically wise, reformed wise, that is an overemphasis, is not pleasing to God. And we have to be very careful as we navigate the teaching and the principles of Scripture that we don't overemphasize or we don't underemphasize, because each way leads us into error. And so I think that that's a really important thing. What the Scripture tells us is, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His word day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the river, and he will be one who is truly blessed by God. Now, I want you to know that I am preaching about giving again. And you say, oh, not again, you know, that's all the churches ever do. And maybe you're visiting here today and you say, that's my experience of churches, just they always preach about giving. Well, hold on and hang on and just bear with me. This is a part of a series that I've been doing. The first is, it's all about the heart. I had a young pastor in Margate just this past week when they had their AGM, and God has blessed that church as they have heard the message about giving from the heart and allowing God to be the first. It's the first time they've been in the black historically from January, February, March, April. Most of us as churches, those are the times that we struggle the most. But this is the first time Margate Baptist has been in a place where they're actually in the black by more than 60,000 rand. And I'm not talking figures. Please just... But the pastor said this. The youth pastor got up and he said, I want you to know that we're in this place because you are giving out of worship, not out of duty. And I want you to hear this message this morning and come to this place. We had a domestic worker who had come to our church because we so often think that giving is only aimed at the rich and the wealthy. And I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about your own heart this morning. Please hear what I'm saying about this as well. Bapindi sat at the back of the church. She was working for a gentleman who was going through a really hard time. He hadn't been paid. She hadn't been paid because he hadn't been paid for about 4 months. And she was continuing just to trust the Lord. She loved Jesus and wanted to serve him and honor him. She didn't come to our church generally. She belonged to another church. But as I shared some of these messages at Kloof Baptist Church at the end of last year, she said to one of our deacons, she said, you know, I am going to take up this challenge and I'm going to be faithful to God. I don't care what he does, but I know that my heart's response to him is to be faithful and to be blessable in this area. Her husband had been out of work for 12 years. She determined that week that she was going to be faithful in whatever God gave to her, that she was going to give in order to honor God from her heart. That week, she heard that her husband had got a job in Joburg and they moved as a family up there. She has now got a job outside of caring for people's home. And God has blessed them, and I believe it was because of a heart decision. Now, just understand this. You do not bribe God, and you don't give to get. That is an overemphasis. But there is an emphasis throughout Scripture that said, my God is able to supply all of your needs according to all of his riches. As you give and as you honor him, it's all about your heart. And that's what's really important. A missionary had been talking about this to the folk that he was ministering to, and he was telling them their responsibility of tithing and giving and how that was the response of your heart. And one day this little boy came early one morning and knocked on the door of his house and he said, Mfundis, you told me that I must bring a tenth of what I was going to catch or whatever. And here I am bringing this to you. And the missionary's heart was really blessed. And he said, well, where are the other nine? He said, they're back in the river and I'm going to go and catch them now. Don't talk about money anymore, please, Pastor. Well, it's really important that we think about this. If you think about prayer, prayer is talked about 500 times in verses in the Bible. And that's a lot, isn't it? Eh? Faith is also talked about 500 times in the Bible. Does anybody want to guess how many times giving is talked about in the Bible? Whoops, I went too fast, you didn't see that. 2,000 times. Seems that we ought to talk about it a little bit more, not less. Why? Because it's a heart issue, more than anything else. Remember, I'm not asking you to give. I'm not trying to raise funds for the church. I'm saying that there is an abundance of blessing and favor, the fullness, the fullness of God's presence that He longs to give you. I'm not by any means saying if you do this, God is going to. Please just wipe that out of your mind. I'm saying that actually, if as you live in obedience and love of Him, you are going to enjoy a blessing of His presence, and it probably won't be financial, but it will be a wonderful, wonderful encounter with God. That's what He wants to do for you as well. So as we share this a little bit, I'm going to go quite quickly this morning. I'm convinced that great spiritual blessing is in store for all of us as we begin to understand the principles that is in terms of our giving and of our money. I believe that God is offering us as a church and as people favor, blessing, and just a wonderful awareness of the presence and the blessed is he who meditates. He'll be like a tree planted by a river. God is wanting to bring fullness into your life as well. Now, I'm not inventing any of this, okay? And you can check it out for yourself. And if you've been, if you've kind of felt a little bit of resistance about what I've been saying, that's good. That's really good. I want you to be honest enough to investigate it. I want you to read Scripture with an open heart and an open mind. I want you to ask the questions like the Bereans. Where is this like? The question I want to ask you this morning is this. Is He really first in your life? Is He really first in your life? So what I want us to do is look at the principles of ownership this morning. And I want you to have your Bibles open at that particular passage that we looked at in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. When I read this prayer again, I wrote in my notes, what an amazing prayer this is. Didn't you find that as we read it? Didn't it kind of come alive when you just read this amazing prayer that David prayed? Remember, David was not allowed to build the temple, but he collected everything because he had too much blood on his hands. David was a man after God's own heart. I believe that if David had walked carefully before God in every era of his life, the blessing that God wanted to give was untellable. But here he is now, still a man after God's heart. Will God still bless your life if you live in disobedience? Well, yep, you'll always have His mercy. You'll always have His forgiveness. You'll always have His smile upon you. But there's more that God wants to give to you. Again, it's not more financial. There is more in the relationship that God wants you to have than you ever dreamed possible. Don't settle for less. So here is this amazing prayer. First of all, God is the master of everything. God is the master of everything. Listen to how David put this. Verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the majesty and splendor, and everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. Everything belongs to Him. Yours is the greatness. Yours is the kingdom. And as we think about the kingdom, we think about its position. It's above everything else, David said. There's no other kingdom apart from the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of God. It's power. Everything is in your hands. All wealth, all power, all health, everything is in your hands, O Lord. There is no other power that can even begin to register with the majesty of God. Do we believe that as Christians? Do we? We pray the Lord's Prayer, yours is the kingdom, yours is the majesty, your will be done on heaven as it is in may be done in heaven, in on earth as it is in heaven. Sorry, it's getting a bit mixed up here. There is this sense in which there is such majesty, but we live in such poverty in terms of our Christian walk. Because we give head knowledge, but we don't begin to experience the depth of it. And then it's worship. Again, thank you for this worship today. Verse 13, now our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. There is a sense in which as we verbalize our worship, we are stating things about God. And we've got to get, and I think you've passed that. I've been in worship wars so many times in Baptist churches. I think it's one of the dreads of a pastor is the worship wars that happen in churches, because we all worship in different ways. And it's okay. It's perfect to do that, to worship in the way that you do. But you know, God doesn't want just our intellectual worship. He wants our heart worship. He wants us to realize Him. The picture of Jesus in the book of the Revelation of Jesus and that John wrote talks about Jesus as the one who walks amongst the seven golden lampstands, which are the churches of Sardis, Thyatira, Laodicea, Smyrna, and Ephesus. And what a beautiful picture that as we're worshiping, Jesus is walking amongst us. He's walking right amongst you now. He knows you so intimately that Jesus isn't just far removed. In fact, everything that we're doing, there's only one person who's in the audience today. You're part of the choir, because there's only one person that's here. It's an audience of one. And everything we do is about pleasing Him. And so we have the kingdom, its position, and its power, and its worship. But then God is the provider of all as well. God is the blesser and of everything, and He's the giver of all. And I love what David says here in verse 14. But who am I? And who are my people? That we should be able to give as generously as this. Everything comes from you, and everything comes from your hand. And we need to understand this. Everything comes from His hand. Everything that we own, every breath that we take, every moment we're awake is a gift from God. Isn't that what James said? Our life is like a vapor, that it's here today and gone tomorrow. You are living today and here to worship as a gift from God. And that's really important for us to understand as well. Everything comes from His hand. And you can also just write in your notes, if you are, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. But I'm not going to read it now. Verse 17, God tests our hearts. Let's read that passage. I know, my God, that you test the hearts and are pleased with integrity. Everything I have given, Lord, I've given willingly and with honest intent. God loves and delights in the integrity and the honesty of our hearts. Our offering and our giving should never just be, I have to do this. Our giving should be one of the highlights of our service as we honor and worship the presence of Jesus. We have a great pretender in our midst, don't we? We have another presence who whispers in our ear and said, did God really say? That's our problem right from the beginning. Did God really say? Did God really say that we should honor Him in the way that we live? Did God really say that we should honor the Sabbath? Did God really say? And you know, there's so many questions. And I think that so many churches are in trouble today because of the whisper of our enemy that tries to steal the presence and the blessing of God. Did God really say that we should give? Didn't Jesus address this? Jesus said this. And He said this about breaking the spirit of mammon. He said, you can't serve God and money. In fact, Paul said the same thing. The love of money is the root of all evil. And it doesn't matter who you are and what level or strata of the society you may be in, you have to answer this question yourself. Am I in a place where I'm doubting what God said? Remember, I'm not saying we give in order to get. I'm saying we give because God has asked us to give as a demonstration of our trust and of our love for Him. The very gifts that God has given to us have possessed us, and we are controlled by them. David said this, Lord, you have given everything, and everything we have given to you willingly and happily and joyfully. But very often in our society, the very gifts that God has given us of health and blessing whatever we want to do become those things that we think are ours. Can I say what the Scripture says? Present your body as a living sacrifice to Him, holy, acceptable to God. That means you have to give everything. Not just your time, and it's really important to give your time. Not just your prayers, it's vital that you give your prayers. But everything belongs to Him. And as we as Christians learn that lesson, it's not about us. It's about our hearts as we love Him. Then we will honor Him in our giving as well. All right, so I want us to look briefly as we close this whole series at the principle of the first. If you want to turn in your Bibles backwards a little bit from 1 Kings, back to Exodus and chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, and we're just going to read verse 2 of this. In fact, we'll read verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of the womb from among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. The first belongs to God. Now I want to talk a little bit about first fruits, and I want us just to understand this. Remember, all Scripture is given as teaching. All Scripture is inspired and infallible and unchangeable. All Scripture is that in which we base our lives. We don't pick and choose. And it's profitable for us to understand this as well. So the thing that I want us to understand is that the firstborn belongs to Him, or the first fruits belong to Him. The first fruits. Exodus chapter 34, if you're still in Exodus, you were there in verse 13, go to verse 34, chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34, and I just want to read these few verses together, if I can find it quickly, okay. Verse 19 following, okay, so a few verses after that. Let's make sure I've got the right one. Verse 19, the first offspring of every womb belongs to me, including all the firstborn males of your livestock, whether from herd or flock. Redeem the firstborn donkey with a lamb. And if you don't redeem it, break its neck. Redeem all your firstborn sons. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Verse 26. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord. And I want you just to hear this a little bit today as well. The firstborn, the first fruits are his. Now, we don't hear a lot about the message of first fruits, but 16 times in Scripture, first fruits are declared to be the Lord's. There were two instructions in this passage in Exodus. You would redeem, the firstborn was always to the Lord. So if you had a firstborn lamb, it was to be taken and sacrificed, and it would be that which says, Lord, everything that we have is yours. And we want you, your blessing to rest upon everything we do. We're honoring you with the first and the best. Now, donkey you can't sacrifice because it was an unclean animal. But what the writer in Exodus says, what Moses said is this. What you are then to do is to take a lamb, another lamb, and you sacrifice it so that that donkey can be declared holy as well. It's always going to be a picture of the fact that Jesus was going to come and die on the cross. We're all unclean. But God was the first, Jesus was the first fruits. Remember, that's what the Bible tells us over and over again. Paul talks about him being the first fruit from to raise from the dead. That Jesus was the one who came to redeem and cleanse and make right all of us who are unclean. That's the principle. This is the picture that God wants us to understand. That the first fruits is a picture that points to Jesus, and we need to understand it in the light of that. And therefore, our first fruits, we're saying every time we give our first fruits, we're saying to him, Lord, we recognize Jesus as the one who has redeemed us. We give as a reminder. Jesus has given us the communion table that we celebrate as a reminder. He gives us the opportunity to give to him as a reminder of our dependence. He doesn't do it because he needs our money. He does it because we forget so quickly. Does that make sense? And so you say, well, I need to hear this a little bit more. Let me give you some other scriptures here that are really important. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Oops, that sounds a little bit like prosperity doctrine, doesn't it? Well, it's in Scripture. I never said it. God said it. And God said, if you bring me the first fruits, then I want to know that there's a promise that goes along with it, that you will be blessable. And you'll be like a tree planted by the river. And you'll be in season and out of season. Leviticus chapter 23. Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I would to give you, reap of its harvest, and you shall bring the sheaths of the first, you shall bring the sheath of the first fruit of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheath before the presence, that you may be accepted. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 4. You are to give them the first fruits of your grain, new wine and olive oil. Okay. And then you think, well, that's all Old Testament. Well, Paul says it in the New Testament. If a part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so the whole lump is holy as well. So this is something that is really important. And I want you to understand a little bit of this as well. The purpose behind this picture is to point to Jesus. He is the first fruit. And our first fruit offering is to say, Lord, here am I, and I'm giving to you. Romans 5 and verse 8. God said, I give with no guarantee. If then, while we were still sinners, says Romans 5 verse 8, while we were still enemies of God, with our fist in his face, saying, I do not need you and I do not need your control. If when I was cursing him, Jesus died for me and loved me enough. He had no guarantee that my heart would ever say yes. But I'm so glad he loved me enough to give himself for me. So the principle of the firstborn is his. And then it's a declaration of trust. And I'm going to end with this as well. It's a declaration of our trust. The first is both the first and the best. That's what God wants us to understand as we give. Our giving first to him is a declaration of our trust. It's not going to add up. Your monthly is not going to add up. They've told us as we are, I like the new term that I've been told about retirement. It's not retirement, it's redeployment. And I really like that. It doesn't sound like I'm kind of over the hill. But what they've said to me, I've often folks said, you know what, you're going to look at your budget and it's not going to meet the end. And we're kind of like at the beginning process of all of that. But God has said to us, I want you to give the first and the best to me, and when you do that, I want you to know that I'm going to take care of everything else. If you honor me with your wealth and your first fruits, then I will be the one who will fulfill the promises that I've made. God said, test me in this, and I'm going to ask you again, won't you dare to test God? I'm not saying that he's going to give you a Merc, or he's going to give you 10% more, or 20% more. That is an overemphasis, and quite honestly, it's heresy. But the Bible says, honor me, and I will give to you. By tithing and by giving to God, I'm saying to him, Lord, I'm putting you first in my life. And I'm trusting you to take care of the rest of the things of my life. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus wants us to understand this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about what you will wear. Don't worry about what you will eat. The heathens have worries about all of this. But as you put me first, seek me first. And the way I do it is by this declaration of trust. Lord, I'm going to honor you with the first fruits of my life. You honor God. Now, who am I speaking to? I'm speaking to the really wealthy people. And I'm speaking to the domestic workers who don't get very much. The pensioners. Honor God first. And I promise you that he'll not forget you. That's his promise. It's not my manufacture of anything. It is what God has said. Allow God to touch you with his heart that says, I long to bless you more than you can contain. As you give, so it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Not Brian Anderson's words. Whose words are they? Jesus' words, not mine. It's his promise. And so I want you to hear this as well. Jesus taught this. Do I trust him enough? Do I trust him enough? Faith is both the first and the best. And giving becomes the thermometer of our faith. I didn't say that. I can't remember the guy who said that. Giving is the thermometer of your faith. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you come to a place where you've surrendered your heart and your life to Him? And I want to say praise the Lord for that. If you don't know Jesus today, there's an opportunity for you to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow You and I'm going to serve You and I'm going to invite You to be in my life. And I want to encourage you to do that. That is the greatest decision that you can make today. But I want to encourage you this morning as we conclude this whole series. I want you to ask yourself the question, do I trust Him enough to give Him the first? Who really is first in your life? Who really is first in your life? And then I want to challenge you again, not because I'm trying to raise money, but I want to challenge you again. Put Him to the test. Put Him to the test. I'm asking you to step out in faith and to say, Lord, I'm going to give to You that which belongs to You, not because you need to get something, because actually, that's His responsibility, isn't it? It's all His responsibility. Will you dare to trust Him? Will you dare to come as a church and say, here we are, Lord. We're going to honor You. We're going to honor You. It's hard to preach this kind of sermon. It really is. It's hard to get up and say, you need to do this, because so often it looks like, especially when the pastor's doing it, that he's saying, come on, guys, we've got to get to the budget. But I'm here carrying a message that I believe God wants the churches to hear. Will you dare to trust Him? Will you dare to step over this and say, okay, I'm going to do it? Will you be willing to say, here am I, Lord? Let's pray together.